You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Follow Up Boss, one of the leading CRMs, client relationship managers, for residential real estate. Tons of top producing agents and some of the fastest growing teams out there are using Follow Up Boss to increase lead conversion, eliminate busy work that you're not doing anyway, and frankly, deliver a higher class experience in real estate to everybody who chooses you as their realtor of choice. So if you're going to keep listening to this, which I know you will, there's more information and a personal review of Follow Up Boss. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown, and you're here on Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today, I have Zach Booth with us. And Zach is not just an investor. He's an investor with ethics and a heart, and he's going to give you some insights on, well, several different angles. So I know you're going to enjoy this conversation, and you're really going to want to go straight to the show notes and click on his links. But listen to the episode first, and I'll see you on the other side. So Zach, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So give my audience a little bit of background on you, what you do in and around real estate, your angle on it, where you're located, any of those little tidbits before we dig into story time.
Yeah, so I'm in Utah. This year, we opened up another branch in Tampa, Florida. So I'm in two different markets. I'm an investor. I do lots of different things. I buy and hold. I do wholesaling. I flip houses. Whatever's the best strategy for the deal. And I also help a lot of people get started as well. And, I have a podcast and a YouTube channel and TikTok and Instagram and all that fun stuff. Do a lot of content creation. I love helping people. And before real estate, though, before all of this, about 7 years ago, I was a window cleaner. So I was a broke window cleaner and a beautiful wife and a son and a little girl on the way. And I wanted things to change. So I got into real estate and it was terrifying. It was scary and it wasn't easy, but it completely changed my life. But yeah, I used to be a window cleaner and I didn't know anything about real estate. It really changed my life.
So how do you go from, what's honestly a really dangerous job being a window cleaner? How do you go from that to real estate? How did you find your mentor? How did you find out this would be a path for you?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a perfect straight line. I wished it was. I made lots of mistakes and I tried lots of things. Some things worked, some things didn't. So my first deal I'd ever did is I bought a duplex and I was shortly married, just recently married. And like 2 months after we got married, we bought a duplex and I did all the work myself, had an awesome agent. And I told my agent and I said, hey, the stinkier, the better, right? I want the one that stinks because I want to be able to fix it up and make it worth more. So that's what I did. I bought a duplex. There's standing water in the basement. There was termites. It was bad. It was the worst of the worst. It was good timing. It was 2010. So the banks were unloading their foreclosures. And so I got this property for $55,000 after a down payment for grant, first time home buyer. So wow. I get into this house, no money out of pocket. I put about $20,000 in materials and did all the work myself. And I was able to rent the one side out for about $800 a month and live in the other side. And my monthly payment was like $450.
That's taxes. You started that way. That's one of the secrets in real estate that a lot of the public never hears about because they maybe don't have the right relationship with real estate or with a realtor who's going to explain to them that what you just described, getting your family started, was the tenant on one side of your duplex paid the payment for y'all to basically live for free, or actually with cash flow after doing some work to the property. And it's the most organic way to get started in real estate because it does give you a leg up. And I also love that you took advantage of the first time buyer programs that have existed all over the place for years. And many buyers, again, it depends on who you're talking to as to whether or not you know these opportunities exist. And when you've got two little people in your life, it's not just an opportunity to get you and your wife going, it's giving them a stable place to live. So I love that you got started in a really good, financially responsible way. That's huge.
Yeah, and it was awesome. So like that experience, I was working windows and I had just dropped out of college to pursue my entrepreneurial dreams. And I was like, okay, I need to do more of this. I was like, that was easy, So I go to get another loan and they're like, well, wait a minute, you need 25% down. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have 25% down, right? And they're like, and your debt to income is not really where it needs to be able to get the properties. And then prices of houses started going up. And so I started having all these different barriers. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I was like, well, maybe I could flip houses. You know, I have some construction background. I grew up working in construction. I framed houses and did finished carpentry. I knew how to use a saw. I mean, I still actually go and do CrossFit with my old boss that I made sawdust with. And so like, that was not something I was afraid of doing, but I just had all these barriers and obstacles to get started. And maybe a lot of audiences don't have the same thing, right? But I wanted to be in real estate. I thought about becoming a real estate agent. And I was like, okay, well, I could do that. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that for sure. You know, I don't know if I want to be in the sales business, but I want to be an investor. I want to be able to have some financial freedom and some time freedom. I wanted to be there for my family, right? Like that's what I really wanted. I remember the day my son was born. I remember all I could think about was how am I going to pay the medical bills? And that was an issue to me. Like I felt like I was failing as a dad. I felt like I was failing as a husband and I felt insecure about it, you know, and I wanted that to change. And so, you know, through that journey, I talked to a bunch of my wealthy window cleaning clients and I said, I want to flip a house. I need the money to do it. I got someone to give me some money to flip a house. I paid them their interest and they made their money, but I lost money on the flip. And
how did you lose money on the flip? Did it cost more to do the work than you anticipated or was it worth less at the end?
Because it was worth less at the end.
Because when people watch stuff on HGTV, this never happens, right? Somebody bought a house for a dollar and suddenly it's worth a million and they only spent $5 to fix it up. And it's not generally the true reality of it. And I think as you're describing here, most investors have made a mistake at some point. And it's not a perfect game that we're in because real estate pricing is fluid, markets are fluid, and it's always a little bit of guesswork. So how did you manage that disappointment and knowing that you were trying to take yourself next level and you got kicked in the stomach, basically? What did you do to get past that?
Well, I felt sorry for myself for sure. That helped.
You have five minutes of pity.
It was more than 5 minutes. I'm not going to lie. It sucked. You know, it was hard. It was frustrating, but I wanted it, you know, and giving up wasn't an option. I was raised by a pretty tough dad. I love him to death and I'm so grateful for him. When I was younger, I didn't realize how awesome he was. He definitely was probably a little more stern than he needed to be. You know, he'd say things to me like, don't give me excuses. Give me results, boy. You know? Yeah. A little harsh, but I mean, he was raised by an alcoholic till he was 14. And then his stepdad was an abusive war vet and had, I'm sure, PTSD and saw combat in Korea. And my dad had to, you know, ask food from his neighbors to feed his younger siblings. He was on his own at 14, basically.
So he knew
who I needed to become to be successful in life. And he was determined to be a good dad. And he was, and he taught me good things. And so I knew that I couldn't give up. I knew there had to be a better way. And so I started listening to podcasts like this. I started reading books. I was like, okay, like I'm trying to figure this out. I made mistakes. Like, let's figure out what I did wrong. And so I went through the whole gamut of all the different strategies, taking over people's mortgages, subject to financing, seller financing. I started like learning that there's other ways to get started and other ways to get into real estate and things called wholesaling, where you find deeply discounted deals and just pass the opportunity on risk-free. And so I'm learning about all this different stuff from different people. And I invest into a guru and pay 10 grand. And I was excited, right? And it turned out to be a horrible experience. It wasn't like, oh,
I got every one of those 10 grand because I've lost 10 grand to a guru before. It's always 10.
Well, the funny thing is my next coach was amazing. I paid 9 grand. He changed my life. Changed my life. I love him. What's that? It wasn't 10. It wasn't exactly. Okay. I'll make sure I never charge anyone 10 grand. It's like a bad number, I guess.
It is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've invested so much money into coaching at this point, but that first one was bad. And I'll tell you why it was bad. It was bad because it was just a giant package of information. Information's free, guys. Like if the coach is just selling you information, run, right? If he brags about how many hours of content he has and stuff, like that's not valuable. What's valuable is like, okay, my outline is this. This is the steps you'll be doing. And this is the outcome we expect within this amount of time, right? And these are the commitments you have to follow through with to have those outcomes. So my next coach, Tom Kroll, that's what he outlined. And he taught me how to find deeply discounted properties. He taught me how to get into real estate and to be able to become a real estate investor. And he changed my life. It changed my life forever. And I'll be forever grateful. I've had such amazing experiences and I've been able to help so many people. You know, now I flip houses and I have rentals and I do wholesaling and I have teams. I have a large team of people. I have over 20 something people that work for me now, but we help so many people, right? I have such wonderful experiences and relationships because of growing this business. And so, you know, yes, making money is amazing, but the relationships, the feeling of accomplishment, the self-respect that I have, my ability to take care of my family like I always wanted to, and then some.
Yeah. And gaining all that knowledge means that you have a lot of options to give when you encounter somebody who's got a house they need to sell. And, you know, maybe it's a wholesale opportunity, or maybe it's a fix and flip, or maybe it's something you keep as a rental. And when you know more things, and this is something y'all should be thinking about, audiences, whatever pathway you're in, you don't always have to change lanes completely, but you've got to at least open your eyes to what's in the other lane, because it might be the next place to go or where the people you encounter would be better served. And that's the beauty of having a lot of options. And frankly, it's one of the coolest things about real estate, that there's so many different ways to be impacted and to be impactful. So I'd love to know, of all those different pathways you've seen, where have you been able to have some kind of crazy impact, whether it's crazy jaw-dropping or just crazy, amazingly cool based on what you've learned through the stages of your professional life?
So like you said, there's different sellers that have different situations. Right. Some of them, they just need the traditional simple route, list on the MLS and take 30, 40 days and they're done. Right. And sometimes that's not even a solution for them. And I didn't even realize this was common. And so I had a really cool experience. And I'm going to share this story because it's someone that means something to us. So she was actually at our house this morning. My wife's here in the office with me today, helping create some TikToks. And her name's Maria, this cute little family. So she nannies for us and helps do some cleaning. And she even cleans some of my rentals and she helps clean our flips and a few other things. And she's a sweetheart. And so is her husband, Carol. We actually even helped them find a property on our same street so they can be close to us. So what happened in their situation was they had a house. They had saved up their whole lives to buy a house. So with cash, they bought their house. Well, the house they bought had some fire damage. So they were just going to buy it and fix it up themselves. So they did so, but they were living in it while they were fixing it up. And the electrical wasn't on. There was some issues. There was a wood burning stove that they were cooking on and heating the house. It was pretty rough. It was a pretty rough situation, but they had saved up. They were going to make it their home. They were so excited about it. Well, then they had something really crappy happen. The city showed up and said, "You guys can't live here. It's not livable. You have to have a civil engineer come in and fix it up and fix the fire damage and make it livable. Then you guys can move in." Well, they didn't necessarily have all of the money to fix it immediately, right? And so what they did is they moved out of the house and rented another house. And then that house was just sitting there vacant as they were fixing it up. Well, then they had two addresses listed under their name. And for some of their social security and some of their benefits, they were going to lose that because they had the two addresses.
Seriously?
Seriously. So they were caught between the state government saying you can't live there, you have to have two addresses, and the federal government saying we're going to cut off some of your financing.
Okay, so I told y'all that I would do a review of Follow Up Boss, you know, because I'm your friend in real estate, and I did. Now, you know, there's a Blue Million CRM out there. I mean, if you go to any Facebook group, every realtor's like, which one should I use? Which one should I use? And you know that these CRM, which are client relationship managers or customer relationship manager, whatever you want to call it, it's truly a system that's just designed to help you know what to do next, because you're very busy and you're a multitasker in real estate. With all those different tasks and balls up in the air, you need something to help you stay on track. And that's what Follow Up Boss does. Now, when you save a name and a phone number in there, that is basically a Rolodex. Follow Up Boss is going to take the names and phone numbers and also help you know what to do next, so you can maintain these relationships with your neighbors, because that's what this is about. Real estate is not about serving just prospects and clients. It's about taking great care of your neighbors' needs in real estate. And if you'll use a tool like Follow Up Boss, where they remember you, oh, they might even call you when they're ready to buy or sell again, or when their mom and daddy do, or their best friend or their kid, and you want to be top of mind, that's what a product like Follow Up Boss will do for you. truly, it's going to change your business when you start paying better attention to people. They don't have to know you use Follow-Up Boss, but they'll totally understand that they are being heard by you. So now there's a free trial for my people because you're loved. Go to followupboss.com/crazy. No credit card is required. And frankly, because you're my people and we made an ask for you, Follow-Up Boss said, yes, you get double the free trial. That's actually enough time to log in, put some pieces in it, and watch it change your business as it has for so many realtors and teams nationwide. Again, go to followupboss.com/crazy to start your free trial today. All because the city decided the house wasn't habitable, even though they owned it and then were working on it.
Yeah.
Government overreach is everywhere.
Yeah. So it was so sad, right? And like, so they ended up listing it with an agent because they had to. They saved up for this house and they're going to sell this house, right? And we do a lot of marketing. Our names are out there. We're on the radio. We send postcards. We cold call. We do lots of stuff, right? We're always trying to find people we can help. So they find out about us and they call us. I find out it's listed. I'm like, okay, well, I need to talk to your real estate agent because you have a contract with your agent. I need to talk to your agent, right? So I call the agent. I said, hey, you know, these people reached out. They told me the story, what's going on. You know, I didn't know it was listed. They reached out to us. And I was like, so I called you to work with you, you know, because sometimes investors and agents can get mad at each other and think that they're undercutting. And I would never want to do that. So I called the agent and I explained what they had told me and what the situation was. And I said, you know, I would love to help them and figure out a solution where they can still keep the home. Because they don't want to sell it. They're being forced to sell it. So what we did is I hired my attorney to figure out their situation to see if we can get an extension on their financing so they wouldn't lose it, right? With paperwork showing what I was going to do. So what we ended up negotiating and structuring is I was going to take my own personal money and my crew and go in and fix up the house correctly, right? To code. And then I would have a lien on the house and they'd make payments to me and basically pay me back with a little bit of interest, but then they could keep their home, right? And we became really close through this whole experience. They got to move into their beautiful new home, fully remodeled, had working AC, working heater, working, you know, electrical, and they got to have their home. And then after a couple of years, they decided they wanted to sell it, and we ended up getting them a house closer to us, which was really nice for Karen because they help so much at the house now. And so not only were we able to help them with their house, they made much, much more money once they sold it because they basically sold a flip. And so they made more money. I made a little bit of money on the deal, but I was able to help them. And also we have an awesome relationship with these wonderful people. So just kind of a funky structure. I've never done anything like that before, and it just worked out that way.
Well, there's a reminder of several things in there. And the first one is that you take care of the relationship first. And so your goal was, how do we solve for them? And knowing the money will always figure itself out if you do the best care that you can for not just for people that you're already in relationship with, but for neighbors. Because as you said, you and your wife are building up a brand in the market. Your name's everywhere. And the way that your name is going to be heard has everything to do with how you behave. Which you demonstrated that by following the ethical pathway of calling the realtor who had the house listed, who probably didn't know anything about the full backstory, because just be honest, a lot of agents need to ask more questions. We know it's not on purpose that y'all don't know everything, but you got to ask great questions. And it also just highlights that realtors and independent investors don't always have to be at odds. Not every investor is out there trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. And not every realtor is out there just trying to cling tightly to every listing. There's opportunities where everybody can benefit if we're looking out for the best interest of the neighbor at the heart of the transaction. So I love all of that. And frankly, I'm totally irritated by the government overreach here that was going to run them out of their house. And Makes me wonder if you guys went to city council or county commission after all of that and made a remark or two about how if somebody's willing to live there and work on the house, shouldn't there be some kind of a variance made for them if they don't deem themselves to be at risk?
Yeah, I avoid dealing with the government as much as possible.
Stay off the radar screen, but not the same.
It's not even just staying off the radar. It's keeping my blood pressure down, you know? It's bad. We've done lots of like small developments and structured deals where they're development opportunities or they're higher and better use where we tear down a house and make a high unit density type stuff. And so we're working with the city planners and we work with the city quite a bit. And one of my best friends works for the city and he's an amazing hard worker. So I don't want to be harsh, but sometimes I'll give you an example. We had an inspection lined up on a flip that we're doing. It was supposed to be on Friday and I needed the rough in plumbing and electrical inspected so we could close up the floor and go to work. You know, I wanted it done Friday because I had crews lined up through the weekend to crank out a bathroom. Like we wanted it done, like done. And they wouldn't even set an exact time for us. They're like, oh, we'll text you Friday morning and let you know when we're going to be there. It's like, nice. Okay. They text us Friday morning. Oh, we'll be there at 11, like 10:30. Oh, the boss doesn't want us to drive because it's snowing. It's like, okay. So then Monday, they're supposed to come and do electrical and plumbing, but only the plumbing inspection got put on the docket for Monday. And even though it was both on Friday, but so they come and inspect the plumbing and they're like, oh, we only got the plumbing, so you can't close it up. I was so frustrated. So that's just a common thing that I deal with the cities sometimes. I mean, not all the time. I mean, there's some great ones. And usually if I find a great inspector, if I find a great city planner, if I find, like I've even had mayors reach out to me and I actually had that mayor on the phone over this property. It was an ongoing problem and I got frustrated over the situation and the mayor actually personally called me. So there are some amazing people that did help us through this process. I mean, I did have to get some extensions. I did have to work with the government on this one and government officials, but it is hard. You definitely have some hoops to jump through at times. For sure.
Well, the relationships matter, but that's where as professionals who are helping our neighbors figure out their real estate, we have some obligation to speak to these officials and remind them that the process they have should always have a factor in there that says there's a moment when you sometimes have to fix the process to take care of the human on the other side, and you don't stay married to a rule or a checklist when it can upend somebody else's life. And it is, it's a fine line to walk, because if you make the wrong person mad, they can punish your future clients. But the good people down there, if they know that somebody's working for the best interest of the community,
yeah,
could be reminded of that to make things better. So now before I let you off the show, I know that you do a lot of work in the wholesaling space and you do education in that space. I'd love to know what you're doing to help bring up the next generation of investors to do things, not just in a competent manner, but in an ethical manner where they can also make a living with real estate investing.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it when you had talked about agents that don't ask a lot of good questions to their sellers and understand the situations and the needs of that seller. So one of the things that I teach all of my clients, all my students, is that if your negotiation tactics change because a family member calls you about selling their house, you're doing it completely wrong.
That's a great point. Say that again for the people in the back. That's so true.
I said, if your negotiation tactic changes when a family member calls you, you're doing it completely wrong. Right?
That's like huge.
You're doing it completely wrong. And so, you know, I teach people how to get started in real estate with like nothing in their pocket, right? Because that's where I was a broke window cleaner. Like I didn't have what I have now. I didn't have a team. I didn't have $50,000 a month marketing budget. You know, I didn't have what I have now, but you have to start somewhere. And the biggest thing, you know, I loved it before we got on the show, everyone, we were talking about, you know, you, the listeners, and how you want to make sure you're doing things ethically. And I was the same way. I struggled to get started in what's called real estate wholesaling because I believe that if you took advantage of, or if you got properties at such a big discount, you know, you're taking advantage of those people. How is that even possible? But if you're willing to listen to the people and say, what is your needs? Many and most of those people will need a real estate agent and they'll need to list it for top dollar and fix it up themselves, right? The majority of people. And so many of the leads that we produce in my company, we just push them out to our real estate agents. Right? We don't even touch them. But there are a few, like I can give you an example. My cousin called me, right? He said, Zach, I want to sell my house. Will you buy it? I said, yeah, brother, I'd be happy to buy it. I'm like, you understand I'm an investor. I'm planning on making money. I was like, you could probably make more money if you list it with an agent. What's the condition of the house? He said, well, it's pretty good. It needs a few things. I know that it would need to be done, but I don't care. I want to be done. I want it gone fast. I don't want to list it with an agent. That's why I called you. I was like, okay, well, I can help you. You know, what's your time frame? You know, he was moving. He had a job change. He wanted it gone fast, right? And so my script didn't change. That's exactly the same conversations that I have. So I'm getting long-winded here, but my hope for my students is that, yes, they make money, but they help a lot of people along the way. And that's just going to open up more and more doors and more opportunities, because people are going to be blessed by being in business with them and working with them and partnering with them and selling to them. And it's going to open up more opportunities. You're going to get referrals. You're going to have people that are starting bringing deals your way, right? There's lots of things that are going to come from you helping and serving and working for the best interest of others and not just the bottom line.
Exactly. And so I wanted to get you to poke at that for us for a second, because again, we want people that are listening to this or watching this to remember that there's a different outcome for most people that you encounter. And that's why, again, there's so many pathways in real estate so that people can be served in a personalized way. And it's why we have podcasts like this to bring you people like Zach. So Zach, if my listeners and viewers want to connect with you and find out how they can learn more about what you've learned along the way and learn from you, how do they best reach out?
Yeah. So I'm all over. You can find my YouTube channel and podcast. So my podcast is called Driving for Dollars Mastery. My YouTube channel is called Real Estate Investing with Zach Booth. And then TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, I'm just Zach Booth, Z-A-C-K-B-O-O-T-H-E. And then something that I did is I went and documented day by day for 40 days exactly what I do and exactly what I teach people. Just so you guys can get an over-shoulder look at what it looks like. And I prayed for an experience to meet someone special that I could serve and help make money and then build that relationship. And I met a guy named Jerry Tidwell on this 40-day challenge. He was a bet on my podcast. I told him what I was doing and how I was trying to help people get started. And he told his stories of how he had gotten into investing and how he had done all these crazy things and worked with farmers to get these good deals. And you know, we cried and we hugged, and I found out he was dying of cancer, and it was just an incredible experience. So I met him day 4 of the challenge. I got 3 deals from him, and you know, so grateful I met him. But yeah, so that 40-day challenge, like that's something that will really give you an understanding of what I do and like what it looks like to be a real estate investor and to be an investor that actually cares about people and situations, not just money. Like, yeah, you got to make money. Yeah, you got to take care of your family, but that comes from doing the right things. That comes consistently from consistently helping the right people. So you can watch that 40-day challenge. I have a special link. It's dfdmastery.com/40in40. So if you guys want to watch that, you can go there. So,
and for all of you who didn't write that down or are really wishing right now that you had, don't stress. It's in the show notes for this episode. You can click and follow, click and follow, click and follow. And then when you leave comments on TikTok and Instagram, say hey to Zach's wife, because now we know the secret that she's back there making all the social happen. Yeah. We need to take care of all the people doing things in the background. But Zach, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us some of these angles and stories, and look forward to learning more from you myself in the future. And I'm very grateful for what you're doing out there.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So you know the rules, guys. Leave some nice love in the comments for Zach and what you've learned today. Make sure you hit subscribe and 5 stars. And most importantly, tune in next time and you'll learn some more things over here on Crazy Shit. We'll see you. Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow-Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow-Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or people you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.